It's all foul, you know, of social media. Greetings in the name of the Most High. It's all a big joke. I mean, the biggest danger in the world is social media. And then, you know, and that's how the new pandemic is spreading. Oh, I just want to read something. Well, you know, I couldn't wait till people got in there, because usually if I do a pod and then the next day, you don't get, you know what I mean? It's when I do a pod every 3-4 days, I get, you know, then jammed into to a lot of talk in the chat room. So, but today I want to just add more to the snake theory that Dr. Artis had pointed out in his Watch the Water documentary, and now Cliff High is weighing in. So I just want to give you this other point of view to consider. I don't have any real, you know, sort of any kind of prophetic leaning on this. Either way, it's just I've been perplexed as to, you know, the plan to wipe out humanity, and me being humanity, you know, wondering when I'm going to be wiped out. I mean, that's been my focus, which I'm sure they're very happy that they've kept me on that focus rather than doing the work of Christ. I mean, I guess it's better to just sit there and be in fear and shake. But then again, on the other hand, cut yourself some slack, because nobody's ever been in a situation where you had to adjust to the state and every country on earth trying to kill you. That you know, if you told me something like that, I would have just laughed at you, you know, years ago. I wouldn't be ready to handle that years ago. Well, actually, I was, theoretically, but not emotionally, if you know what I mean. You know, we know there are bad guys out there who want to, you know, take the population out. We know that. So here's what he says. And he just published this on his Substack. The Watch the Water documentary is being passed around the net like a blunt at a Rastafarian dinner party. Good sense of humor. Blunts are good. The documentary is not good, in my opinion. The principal player of this documentary is Dr. Byron Artis, who is a chiropractor and acupuncturist. This is the problem. This is a problem, as the doctor is touted as a medical doctor and practitioner, yet is not. So there he is, presumed a layer of credentialism on the credentialism on this presentation from the start. The interview does not examine the education, not schooling, that artists undertook to make these conclusions. So there's no real background of any of the science behind any of the conclusions provided. So he calls it propaganda. And I think that's being too harsh. And I think that he is off in a way, but he may have a point here. I don't think every, you know, in terms of science, I'm not sure everybody knows how this plays in. See, what got my interest is the idea of the losing taste and smell that happens when you get a snake bite with venom, that very thing. And, you know, so that's tying in, and the idea of passing around a virus in water and things like that. And the idea of, you know, instead of, you know, of a bat, you know, it's a snake, and, you know, trying to do something with the venom. But it also could be synthetic. You know what I mean? Like, the whole virus has been synthetic. So anyway, so here's something. Artist doesn't bring in. Okay, so he's saying, and so he's saying that in all of medicine, there's no precedent for this. Pick almost any medical condition, research into the approaches of all medicine practitioners going back in time, you will run into snakes. Yep, sure and certain, there's a snake down there somewhere. Artist doesn't bring any of this up, because, you know, snakes have been part of the, you know, toxicity of everything for, well, they get venom. I mean, that's quite a gift. So artist doesn't bring this up. Maybe it's because, as a chiropractor, he is basically ignorant of medicinal history. Or maybe he wanted to present the information as though it was all targeted to COVID. Maybe his goal is to push the idea that all snake stuff was just for COVID. Maybe he and the video want to use your lack of knowledge about how widespread venom is within biochemical processes for developing medicines in order to slant the information to present a specific agenda. And he says that's a maybe. Then he goes on and says, he's basically calling it clickbait and, you know, putting it down. Trying to find some specifics, though. He says, venom is highly reactive. This basically means there are parts of all enzymes that will want to bond with elements, usually oxygen, but also chlorine and others, that will reduce its electrical potential. That is to say, make it more relaxed and far less reactive. Thus, the idea of dumping any venom, snake or other critter, into the water system is silly. Venom would encounter vast amounts of oxygen, chlorine, and all other chemicals currently polluting the planet. It would be very unlikely that the venom would survive in a reactive state that would be able to injure your body. And if the venom was made into a more water-stable product, by that very process, it would no longer be reactive enough to cause harm. So he thinks putting it in the water supply is a ridiculous idea. So I presented both. I don't need to be right or wrong, but I really like the theory of artists with the king cobra snake and the crate snake and finding that evidence. You just have to see where it goes. Suffice to say, the idea that we're dealing with snakes at all is congratulations to artists, because I think that's a missing part of the conversation. As far as Cliff goes, he's gonna have his take on it. He thinks, there's no point in going back through, you know, history of medicine or anything like that. He considers the documentary a clickbait and fraud and propaganda is what he says here, exclamation point. And he says, why do they want to push this view? There's no science provided, just pointers to presumed social engineering and plays for emotionalism. That's us. We're emotionalistic. Based on viewers' perspective on current events. That's us, as I said. In this, it would seem that this effort has been to target a specific demographic of people. Thus, the tentative conclusion that the producers of the video are working on an agenda. Well, I know the producers of the video have a warning out there that they're trying to kill us. We better do something. And we do know that. At the same time, we know God is on the throne. See, this is what I always like to say. God is on the throne, and God will make that decision. And I've seen this too many times. That's a naive, view and a false hope. No, because I've seen so many times where it's the Lord and nothing else that turns the thing around. I've been through it too many times. So, I actually don't think that, I think that for Cliff High to make a coherent statement on this, he'd have to write a much more comprehensive article. He'd have to go and do his own real research into the venom thing rather than just rebutting. He'd have to, it calls for more from him, since he has some kind of a technical knowledge. And since he is technical, then it's calling for him to do more than just bitch slap, artists and the articles being propaganda. Right? He's asking later on cui bono. And, I've had a lot of things where I was told that it's all going to come down. You're not going to be here. We're not supposed to be here now. Right now, we're supposed to be gone. Okay? Now, why aren't we gone? See, now there would be a good point, because when I listen to people, certain people, I used to listen to, he's banned now from everywhere, Mike Adams, Natural News. And 2 years ago, he had, made these dire predictions about, where we would be right now. And they did not come to pass. And he says it's just a warning. But, And he makes a lot of valid points. But see, if he affects your fear factor, and I guess this is what we have to talk about today, because this is very important. If he elicits fear from you and that alters your day or alters your behavior or alters your thinking process, then in that case, maybe it's best not to listen again, because he's obviously pushing the fear button in you. And then once that's pushed, then, you know, you're back to fight or flight. You can't make a decent decision because you don't have your faculties. You're being, you know, run on adrenaline at that point. And so that's not good. So what I did is, you know, because I know other people like Mike Adams, Natural News, but I shied away because I didn't want to get caught up in fear. And it's kind of like the same thing with, you know, when I report about, you know, COVID and their plans and, you know, the COVID up to now. And of course, you know, gosh, I just have to say this. Here's a prophetic thing. Okay. Of course, I'm going to try to bring it back right now. Of course, they're not going to, you know, they're going to sucker punch you for all it's worth with the Democratic administration and Biden, the super, you know, majority, you know, their whole, you know, monopoly. And they're at war with basic decency. They're at war with, you know, and I don't mean just Democrats. I'm talking about some very prominent Republicans like, you know, Mitt Romney and Lindsey Graham and a lot of these guys, Liz Cheney, you know, say the old club, right? The true society. Yes, they are in bed with the Democrats, and they always have been. And they've just kind of done this, you know, sort of Coke Pepsi thing ever since. And, you know, it's the Republicans are against higher taxes, but eventually they give in. Republicans are all for the war, and eventually the Democrats give in. You know what I mean? It's just a game. It's a con game to get you. So there, I don't listen to that anymore, right? Thank God. You know, I mean, I look at pathetic Biden, and I just shake my head. This country is filled with, you know, just, you know, we're represented by just pure shit. There's no, just everybody out for their own interest and screw the rest of the country. I mean, that's basically what you've got right now. Selfish, perverted, disgusting abominations instead of people. And, you know, the worst thing about it is how they're stealing from you through inflation, which doesn't benefit you, but benefits them through other countries like Russia. As I said from the beginning, Ukraine is an American war. The Ukraine-American, the NATO is America, UN is America. America is running, the Pentagon is running Ukraine from inside Ukraine. You have all kinds of material there now. You've got NATO in there, you've got the Pentagon in there, you've got troops in there, but they're not, you know, announced. And the goal is to go up after Putin. And the problem is the nukes are deterring them. The Pentagon, the most disgusting, evil, horrible, filled with the most horrible people on earth. You know, and it's just like, just look at that building. It doesn't even look human. You know what I mean? It's just like, these are people that have, you know, to become a general in today's army, you got to sell your soul to all the devils there are. Right? The first thing you have to be is a traitor to your flag, and a traitor to your country, and a traitor to your troops, and a traitor to the Congress, you know, except the ones that you're in bed with. You know, that's basically what we have for Joint Chiefs. They're traitors to you. They don't like you, and basically they're at war with you, and they want to depopulate you and replace you with the immigrants coming in and retrain them for low IQ jobs with Chinese management. I've told you this since 2004, that has been the plan. And am I wrong? I mean, I might be wrong on timing, you know, and sure, I don't know timing, but It looks pretty pretty good, that replacement, especially of people like, you know, patriotic people, you know, people that like the country. You know, they're getting help. They're indoctrinating everyone they can to hate America, you know, for other reasons, because America's racist and all that, and want to burn it down. And they get support for burning it down from the politicians. And then you say, well, let's vote for that. No, these people belong in jail. When Kamala Harris said, you know, that the rioters, you know, won't stop and they shouldn't stop, it indicated that she was involved in the riots. In other words, by bailing them out of jail, she was taking part. She should have been arrested on the spot. But instead, what did we all do? We just turned a blind eye, business as usual. No, that is not. She should have been arrested on the spot, but the FBI is all down with the program. The FBI is all for gun confiscation, destruction of people, destruction of their rights, destruction of property, destruction of property rights, and to jail anyone who complains. And that's where they're at on a power trip, but beyond all power trips. I mean, it's we've never seen things align, evil align so much. And we got to go back to Trump for this, because Trump, in a sense, this is what David Mamet said, and I agree with him. Trump unified the Democratic Party. He's really, he's not the leader of, you know, patriots, Republicans, or whatever. He's the leader of the Democratic Party in a weird backwards way. Because he basically, when you have a party that's unified like that, they could do a lot of damage. Especially if they want to overturn the country and put it into communism. That means overthrow the country because they hate it so much. And whatever. Everything you see on the inside, the sexual grooming, all that is basically to make the country unfit for regeneration. That's all it really is, ultimately. I don't think they give a damn, you know, what your sexual proclivity is. They could care less, and I could care less. So, you know what I mean? So that's a program to bring in decadence, so that there's no one to fight back, right? Because people that are obsessed with selfishness and their own selfish perversions and hurting innocent people, karmically, they're going to be targeted by God for extinction. I take very seriously Matthew 18:6. I don't know if anybody else does, but I take the Bible very seriously. I take God very seriously. I take Jesus very seriously. But Jesus is God. So we're talking God, we're meaning Jesus. We say Jesus, we mean, it's the same thing. If you work out what the Alpha and the Omega is, that it's revealed that Jesus' true identity is I am, and I am is God. But then again, I am too. So I am, is there's only one I am. So that's the mystery of Christ, but we don't ever get to explain that to people or try to point it out that there's a mystery there, because they're so busy being, you know, hit with stereotypes and stupid phrases about racism and, you know, patriarchal blah, 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 and all this other blah, blah crap. Well, they can do damage, and they are doing damage because they're aligned with the, you know, progressives and the, you know, the sellout Republicans and everyone else that wants to overturn the country, stick a fork in it, fold it into the New World Order, and they're at the front lines, the kids at the front lines using sexuality and race as a tool to make them fit for takeover. Because how hard would it be to roll into like LA and just, you know, round up the woke people? I mean, it'd be like, you know, child's play. It'd be like taking candy from a baby. You know, how much of a fight could they really put up? And this is really the point. They couldn't put up any fight. You know what I mean? They just want to know where the detention center is, so they can continue on their path of their path of sexual blossoming. You know, then you like to point out, well, you know, the flowers, the birds, the bees, you know, these procreate, and God makes it so we procreate, male and female procreate. And then somehow that, even nature, becomes evil for procreating in the mind of, you know, the demented, mentally ill mind of the sort of woke LGBTQ, Black Lives Matter, and the rest of the George Soros programs. They don't even know that they've been played by old white guys. Bloodline, you know, by Nazis. They don't get it. They don't see anything like that, and I've quit explaining it to them. And because you know what? Even when they get old, they will never know that I'm right. They will just die as victims of it and not know why or what. And the onus will be on them. When you come to this planet, one of the things that every single human being is tasked with is to figure out what this is and who am I and why am I? You know, those kind of questions. That's all God actually asks you to do, is to dig into it, to try to find out. And that's, you know, the one thing they don't want you to do, and that's why they've, you know, that's why there's TikTok. That's why there's Facebook. That's why there's Instagram. That's why there's Snapchats and WhatsApps and all kinds of, you know, telegraphs. And that's all there to keep us going with this distraction of what they're going to do next. And, you know, it's funny. I got one guy rejected me yesterday. I told you because I didn't, because he believes I hate the name Jesus. No, I had to get out of there because I can't have, you know, the array of friends that I have, you know, they don't get along. My friends don't get along with each other. Well, you know, I mean, in a kind of a real general way, in the same way that, you know, political parties don't get along with each other, you know, in a very general way. But it makes it very difficult to you know, you're trying not to offend somebody, you're trying to, you know, and if you just say whatever you want, then you have no friends. It just gets to be this, you know, unfortunately, I'm cursed and punished. If anywhere in social media, I am immediately targeted. And so I realized that I've tried several times, but the last round, I mean, there are people I didn't see there were friends I didn't see them for 2 months, and people said they couldn't find me, and you know, I'm like, oh. So it was good. It was good. It was a little kick in the, you know, God'll do that. It's when I got that little rejection, it was like, you know what, it's time to move on. I can't explain, you know what I mean? It's just like people make judgments about, you know, like me creating a horror movie or whatever. And they, you know, they make a judgment and they reject me for that. And you know that's going on, right? And I just I'm tired of I see it doesn't work. You know, that my life is not acceptable to Christians. I you know what? I get that. And so there is no us when I'm talking about Jesus, when I'm talking about Christ, when I'm talking about, you know, and there is no us because all I do is cause fights. You know, so there is no us. You know, we can pray together, we can sup together, we can, you know, on the way, sort of on the way to something else, but we can't just be, you know, everyone in the same room because it'll just turn into a World War III, you know? So there's no point. I have friends diverse from all over the place. You know, some are, you know, believe in Buddhism and meditation, and some follow gurus and some follow Jesus. I you know, my way is Jesus Christ. I have never really been, you know, shy about that, and nor have I hidden that, since that's what prompted me to get on the internet with the Zeff Report in the first place, was the you know, the really being touched by God and being born again in Christ, and then learning so much more about what that really means. And there's never been a change since that day that happened to me, and I've been very exuberant with that testimony. You know, I've said it many times, and it just, you know, I also understand there's like an invisibility factor to me that, that was where they were trying to saddle me up, because I had quite a story going back to L.A. and the L.A. story. And, people say, well, this story is going to be lost. And your blog, the Zeff Report, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to be, an official anything. It's just basically you, your story, it's all going to be lost in the dust. And you're not going to inform anyone, and your story will be lost if you don't work with one of these approved of authors, that are vetted. And we all know what that means. It's like a no-brainer. So they, I mentioned the Sean Stone thing, where in Sean Stone's quest for truth, I was banished from his Buzzsaw show. What did I do? I spoke truth for about an hour, just explaining the satanic cabal of the world. And, surviving it and all that. And they said, we can't play that. We can't play that on the air. So Mr. Truth there, huh? Well, no, I mean, I see that he writes little books and things, and it's going to be how they position in the world as a commentator. And, and an expert. But then when you know the real story behind the scenes, you go, oh, I see. And, but where do you go with that? Is there an ulterior motive to some of these, authors and speakers who are going to be at the next convention for the conspiracy convention, and they're going to talk about the New World Order and what we've been through and the alien factor and all this, and they're going to write books and they're going to do all these things, and people are going to buy them up and suck them up. But is that really the work? My question would be, does that really help anybody? Or is it just feeding people what they want to be fed who have a dollar to pay for it? And, does being approved of by the world and then acting like you're a big rebel, does that, to sell your books and stuff to people that probably are pure hearts? The pure heart doesn't need to read the book by the guy approved by the world or initiated or conformed. The nonconformist probably doesn't have much to read from people like himself. And he's basically here visiting Earth, not really engaging in the degradation, which is got one goal, and that's the scalping of the soul. Period. That's it. So you come here with a soul intact, with a free will, and you got to make a decision in this valley of decision, one way or the other, whom you're going to serve. You got to just make your mind up. Are you going to serve the Lord with your soul intact? Then, of course, the real snake, the serpent, he'll be coming after you, the dragon. He'll be sending minions or just mind-dead drone types like you see today. They're just like, they just take orders. Burn down the building. Okay, yeah, because I know that I won't be in jail very long. So you're here to fight. If you're an observer here, then you're most like an alien right? Or like an angel. You're not really part of what's going on. So if you're separate in that way, then you have to be connected then to God, Almighty God, just like direct if you're on that side of things. And that would give you like an angelic status. Maybe not powers, but it would give you that, you know, that amazing ability to be able to articulate what you're seeing, because it's not corrupted with your being attached to any group here or there. See, if you're getting your money from, say, the Patriot community, you're going to do your projects and it, so that they like it and they'll buy it, because that's your only customer. That having been said, as far as the water thing, I just thought it was a really fun theory. Do I believe in it completely? Well, I'm still digesting it like you are. I think it, there's maybe a piece of the puzzle there in the numbing of the you know, the taste and smell. Seemed to me to be, well, okay, that is something that happens with venom. I'm well aware of it because I do study snakes. And I study reptiles, but I'm mainly snakes, mainly venomous snakes. I'm always fascinated, and I'm terrified of them because they're so powerful. You know, terrified enough to not be, you know, running around, you know, without boots or something on, you know what I mean? It's just around certain rocks where you're going to get that shh sound, you know? But there's some very venomous snakes. And like I say, that king cobra is one of the most. And then you've got the black mamba. That's another one that's very, you know, in America, we have the cottonmouths usually in the sewers and in the, under the bridges and stuff. Cottonmouths like to hang out in dirty kind of environments. But they're very venomous. The copperhead on the East Coast, of course, very venomous. We have all the various, you know, the Western diamondback rattlesnake we have is you know, tremendously venomous, to the point where most people, they don't get anti-venom. So Artis was, what he was saying was, you know, will you go get anti-venom? Is there an anti-venom available? Would that cure COVID? And that's where he was going with it. And the answer is, you know, if there is an answer to all this, it's that we don't know. You know, guy comes out with a new documentary in theory, and it you know, the king cobra is what the traces of whatever they're finding. The king is from the king cobra and the crate snake, which is another Asian poisonous snake. So, you know, it all comes from Asia and Southeast Asia. You know, the cobra comes from Asia. You know, it comes from India. It comes from you know, there's cobras in Pakistan, there's cobras in all through, you know, the more tropical, you know, like Sri Lanka, I'm sure there are cobras there. Got to ask Govinda about that, but I'm pretty sure that they would have them there. And, you know, it's just very interesting, this idea of utilizing a serpent as a, you know, as a method, even a method for, you know, for synthesizing. Because now everything in medicine now, I mean, Cliff, I didn't say this, but I'll say it. Everything today is synthetic. Have you noticed? Even the virus is synthetic. Right? Meaning, so we're not really dealing with biology anymore. We're dealing with synthetic biologists or synthetic materials that produce, you know, like I told you guys, and you caution me, you said, no, that's no good. I was looking for some cannabis. Well, cannabis is now legal in New Mexico, and cannabis does help, provided I don't agree with it. If you're just going to be drinking too much and then you add cannabis to it, then you sort of just numb out. But if you have pain, I think, and you're really, you need to change your state, some kind of cannabis. But there's so many strains, you have to educate yourself on what you're doing. And I mentioned that, you know, so they made a CDB, CBD kind of thing, hemp. They found a way to create a hybrid THC called Delta 8. And I've taken, I had a gummy bear. I've taken the gummy bear, and it's very, you know, it's different, right? It doesn't last too long, but it's a, it will change your mind, and it doesn't give you a head trip. So it's not really, you know, I would say really some kind of strong out of the world high. It's just, you know, it can help. I also take a Kavachil. Kavachil was from InfoWars. Kavachil does also change your state, and it helps, you know, especially at the end of the day. We need a, you know, a lot of people will drink at the end of the day because they just need that change of space in their head. And it can also be, you know, self-medicating. The world, by the time the end of the day comes, we've been so bombarded with negative news that we're just, you know, ready to die, you know, that, you know, we're just, like me, yes, the last couple of days, last week, screaming as we see the plans of the wicked come out. But, you know, just like everything, plans of these people are just like the plans of mice and men. You know, maybe they'll happen, maybe they won't. They botched the whole COVID thing. We're supposed to be dead right now. So I wouldn't worry too much, and I wouldn't get all distracted about, you know, really liking the, you know, the Cobra theory and the, you know, the Venom theory, and then looking at Cliff High just, you know, basically name calling. That's all he really did. He didn't really get technical. He said the other guy wasn't technical, so he didn't have to. You know, he put a link there of, you know, the history of medicine, which is, you know, extremely arrogant in the first place. So, you know, my feeling about it is I'm just going to watch and see. You know, if there's another article on it, I'll be very happy to read it. But I don't think you need to punish yourselves if you leapt at the, you know, the that's it. If there's something there, if you've sensed there's something there with the Cobra, then there's something there. As far as I'm concerned, maybe it hasn't been played out altogether, but there's something there worth considering. And then if, you know, and then if this Cliff High comes along, I'd love to see his track record in terms of how many accurate things he's predicted. But I don't have time to go dick around like that. But you know what I mean? This is the guy that's coming from a extreme arrogant, you know, like, this is Dr. Artisan Chiropractor. He had no real practical knowledge of any kind of medicine. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he forgets that, you know, the artist is working with many other renowned scientists and doctors about this very theory. It's not like he's come up with it on his own and he hasn't done any real research into it. And just because you're a chiropractor doesn't mean you can't research medicine. You know what I mean? That's just name calling. So for my friend out there that's feeling like, oh no, Cliff High rebutted artist, it's not the case. Cliff High threw a temper tantrum, as far as I can see. So you're not off the hook. So you don't get to go recluse yourself and just do the works of Jesus. Stop trying to figure it out. But if figuring it out makes you afraid, then stop figuring it out. Right? You still have to readjust your head, you know what I mean? That was the whole point of prayer and music and stuff, was to really shape, to give you some relief. What I think about a lot now is death. Not death from them, necessarily, but just, you know, one way or another, death is coming. And there's, you know, a lot of friends I have are dead, right? I've had, or, you know, a lot of people we've all known over the years, right, have moved on. They've died and gone on, right? We tend not to think about them too much. And, you know, no, they didn't die in a nuclear war. They didn't die, you know, some died from the COVID issue, but they were old anyway. They were in the zone, right? If you're over 65, especially in this environment, you're in the, you know, in the kill zone over 65. Hopefully you get to live till 75 or 85, you know, hopefully with all your faculties. But, you know, it's not fun getting older, and it's you know, you do think about things like that. So that starts to take more precedent in a way than the world, what the world's going to do to you, you know, because you're already, you know, how much longer is it really going to last? A few years, you know, it's nothing, you know, and you'll be, you know, unburdened, as it were. And that will be that. I always liked the idea of leaving the nation better than the way we found it, because we had a lot of you know, and I've failed to go into this. We've had a lot of, throughout the years, there's been lots of opportunities for entrepreneurialism and things like that, despite the confiscatory taxes and the need of the uber wealthy to keep you from. See, we already have a more punitive system than communism, and people don't seem to understand that. The IRS, when I add up the taxes that I pay, for example, most of what the, you know, whatever I get is confiscated by them, and I just basically, so I don't buy anything. You know what I mean? There's no excess. There's no, you know, what it should be with a fair tax code is everyone truly pays their fair share. Maybe, you know, pay as you go, pay 10% as you go for whatever you consume. You know, any of those plans would be great because then the people who are making money and working a job and they're saving to have their own business, they would have enough money to have their own business, you know. But as it is now, the middle class is really paying, and they're the ones who start businesses, and they're the ones that are paying so much because the guys at the top are so greedy and so criminal. And then you find out the guys at the top are in a club, and the club is spiritual. It's a secret society, beholden to Satan. And it's basically the same, you know, the industrialists, the big bankers, the big multinational corporations and all that stuff. You wonder why they are going woke. They all want to groom children and the whole thing. You know, it's all being revealed what the big conflict is. So that in the end, really what World War III will be, or World War IV, whatever what you want to call it, it'll simply be a war between, you know, if you want to make it euphemistically, you know, semi-humorous, you can say something like, well, it'll be a war between the pedophiles and the child protectors, right? And basically on one side, you have all the elites lined up with the pedophiles. And that would include the brass and the military and everybody else. On the other side, you'd have we the people, the very people that founded the country, the very people of 1776. And it would be, in other words, now let's take it to a deeper level. No, that's humor, you know, the pedophiles versus the people. Well, that's basically what the war will be, but let's go deeper into it. The pedophiles meaning the establishment of the world, old royalty, the secret societies, the Masons, the various, you know, the Vatican, the various factions of power, and they all have blackmail as their initiatory process, and especially if they're going to run candidates. The other blackmail is so that people stay quiet. Even if they want to make a deathbed confession, they don't, won't necessarily make that. But they all know it's wrong what they're doing, which is, what is the purpose of these secret societies? It is to drive the world. I'll put it in the kind of in the paraphrase of Stanley Kubrick. The point of these, you know, groups, you know, the cabal, whatever you want to call it, is to drive the world into degradation and destruction. Not just, you know, fondling kids. It's way more. So, you know, that would include hybridization as it was in Genesis 6, which prompted, you know, Jesus to prophesy that as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be. And I think with that kind of accurate prophecy, you know, it's the same thing. Every time a civilization gets to the point where we have gotten to, you have a collapse moment. You have a nuclear war, an extinction event. You have, you know, the flood, or you know, if you want to burn the whole world with fire, as the Lord has promised to do, then it would be more like a nuclear exchange, or it might not be done by man. It could be done from, you know, from any, from a sun, you know, from a supernova. But yeah, when the civilization gets to the point where we're at, then the civilization is collapsing. And that's really what you're noticing. And the people that are lining up with pure evil think in their minds because they have the money. Now, it just comes down to money, okay, folks? They believe that because they have the money, I'll align with them because I'll be taken care of, they think. And I remember even Brother Thomas, he was here in 2005 or 6, whenever he was here, he agreed with me, too, that, you know, those guys who conform to, you know, who are the little people that make, that cover up all the crimes of the big guys, that, and they're not allowed in the club. These are just functionaries that take, right, the little slaves that take care of them. And they're given good jobs, you know, great jobs. They get to be entertainers and celebrities and, you know, influencers, and they get all these, you know, cushy, you know, not earned positions. And so they think because of that, because of the perks, right? Because of how much easier it is to make a living, right? Ask anyone who has, you know, sold their soul to the devil. They say, well, because it's so much easier, right? To just go along with the programming, to just go along. And they think they're going to be taken care of. But, you know, in the end, of course, you know, those people end up going down. You know, everybody goes down. And there really are no winners in this situation. It's the bad thing is, you know, wealth and greed and this little collective club, you know, that that's very, very well explained in the Bible, especially in Proverbs 1. It talks about how, you know, if these people in this club, in this collective, ask you to join in with them to wait, to slay the innocent without cause, and the spoil we will put in a collective purse, they say. You know, see that those guys. They say, son, if they reworded it so it doesn't sound as like what I'm saying. It is exactly what I'm saying. And they say that, you know, and Solomon is saying, son, do not throw do not go with them. Because soon they will be laid waste. They will be slain. Blood will meet them. You know what I mean? And the wicked, and then I'll point to Psalm 37 as a follow-up. So that's Proverbs 1, Psalm 37. Don't be jealous of the wicked. Their day is coming. You know, don't be jealous of the gains of the wicked, of the wealth of the wicked, because their day will come. You know, and especially those who have gotten their wealth based on, it's just like Revelation 18, based on, you know, fornicating with the whore of Babylon. That's really what it is. It's an initiation. It's a big deal. It's the getting rid of your soul, and then in exchange getting, you know, the fruits of the world. And then all of a sudden that ends. And it's talked about in Revelation 18 where suddenly, you know, everything just stops. And all the merchants, club members all, were looking from afar off, wondering, Babylon, Babylon, oh, in such a small time, the city is completely collapsed and there's no more trade. So they're talking about trade, world global trade. Okay. And, you know, and then the Lord is saying, you know, measure out to her double, for her sins have reached the highest heaven. You know, the stench of her sins. You know, pay to her double. You know, that means reward to her double, the reward to anybody who's in that situation, and all those merchants and everyone else, reward to them double. Because these are the people that traded in all these goods, but also they traded in the souls of men. Okay? This is a very important thing to get out of that chapter, out of that, out of this meaning understanding. They train the souls of men. And so basically, the war is ultimately, you know, spiritual, of course, as you know, and would be the people of Christ, Jesus' people, Jesus' army, really, versus Satan and Satan's army. And the view we get in the Bible is Jesus returns to slay everything and everyone that is on that side of things. And remember, he leaves them. He comes in with his vestral dipped in blood that says, that says the Word of God. It says he calls himself the Word of God. In Revelation 19, he calls himself the Word of God. He's the Word of God, and he's drenched in blood, and he's coming for vengeance. And the Lord says in Revelation 18, he says, I want you to rejoice that I've avenged you. You out there, you guys. All you people that have taken it from these people. I have avenged you on them. Them who stole everything from you, them who gang stalked you, them who killed you, them who killed people without even any reason, who killed you and stole from you, who rewrote the history books, who've been lying, cheating, and stealing the entire time, and they have said, you know, you can sign on with us, and then it has to be equally presented around the world. You can sign on with Jesus. But if you sign on with Jesus, don't think that gets you out of any war. That's the real war. Because there's a certain time, you know, where everything is brought to a close. That everything burns up. But then there's a new heaven and a new earth. And there's a new Jerusalem that comes down out of the sky and sets a new... level. It's like another level to this thing where the humans become the tabernacle of the Most High God, which is the most important part of that. And so therefore they don't need energy or power. It's nothing. They're integrated. All the power, all the light, all the energy, all the electricity, all the, whatever, planets, creation, universes, sub-universes, mega-universes, you know, all within your power, as a glorified being. I mean, you are just that person. You are God-man now. You are the pinnacle of creation, the New Jerusalem. You are the end game. The final plan was for you to be that. And the enemy has every opportunity in the world to make sure that doesn't happen. That does not happen. And so when you're getting, you know, oppressed, now I admit to you that, you know, Facebook, you know, just became a bother just because of having people who don't agree with each other. And I there's nothing I could do there except just leave and not cause trouble. But it was getting to be a big headache for me. And also I felt stifled. I felt my freedom of speech was being stepped on by the censors. And then by people that are going around, you know, I don't know, I think they think they're serving God, but they're nothing I can say. I'm going to try not to say anything bad about anyone, but I mean, it's... It's kind of amazing. And I chalk that up to misunderstanding based on, you know, just misunderstanding people, you know, and just misunderstanding people's motives and not really taking the time to get to know the other person, what they're up to. And we have no idea what shaped that person's decisions or how they got to be the way they are. And people have a right. I mean, if you want to, you know, have your, you know, very few people that you vet as Christians and that they're approved of by you to be in your little club of Christians, that's fine. But that is completely, you know, against the spirit of agape. That's against the spirit of you know, that's just, it's not right. At the same time, I feel like Facebook especially, and then, you know, Instagram to a little bit lesser degree and others are really part of the devil's domain. Now, that's the devil's domain. He owns that. That's his place. And they have algorithms, you know, so you don't see people, you think you're getting rejected, you know. If you're kind of weak mentally and you go there and you've had a few drinks or whatever, you can take things the wrong way. And pretty soon you've said things you don't want to say. Now they're part of the permanent record. You can't erase it. And, you know, they can dig it and go find those things that you threw in the trash can and things go, you said you wanted to kill everybody in the United States. I mean, I can't, oh boy, you're going to jail now. No, I didn't mean that. That's why I threw it out. I was just angry. Yeah, well, how can we tell here in the court of law? Did you vote for Donald Trump? Once. It's only once. I guess I did. Yeah, twice, I guess. Why? Well, I voted for Trump in 2016 because I wanted good business, good fiscal responsibility. I wanted our trade deals redone. And I wanted human trafficking, because we were praying in 2020. I wanted human trafficking to be the number one prospect. And when Trump took office, that was the number one thing, and he straightened out the economy. So I got what I wanted. That's why. I didn't see the guy as a racist or anything else, but I the first time I really saw a flaw was when he was hooked up with Pfizer and Fauci and all that. And that just blew my mind. In fact, my mind is still blown from that one. Still blown. I'm still not able to kind of get on the... No. I'd rather just give up my citizenship than really... I don't really... You know, I'm a citizen of Jesus. I'm a citizen of the New Jerusalem. You know what I mean? I'm a citizen of all... I am a royal heir. All of this is my domain. Everything that's created is mine. So I have no worries. God is on the throne. And if, you know, the only thing I can say is, Lord, if you want us to live and thrive, or if you want to kill us all, whatever, it's going to be up to you, not Klaus Schwab. It's up to you, Lord. Now, we have lost a lot of people. Now, let's admit that. Hundreds of thousands of people are dead right now because of Klaus Schwab and Fauci, but they're above the law forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Well, see, the kind of adjudication these men are going to get may not come from, you know, law enforcement or things that are below them. They're going to meet a horrible, horrible tragedy, you know, which will be their own demise. And it will happen supernaturally. They could even be torn limb from limb just by gravity, you know, or by an experiment that goes wrong or some, you know, some kind of thing. But, I think that, you know, you have to ask the question, is God sovereign? Is he on the throne? Is God to have a plan? Does God want to kill us all right now? If he does, well, fine. Take me with you, Lord. So I'm going to... The main thing is I've got to... play this a couple of song here, and I will return. No, let's not go there. Let's go there.
Good to be here. This time of year,
time to celebrate your great victory. Come on up here, Buck. All right, girls. Show him what he's won. This is your life, Buck. Look at all the people here to cheer you on. Oh, don't mind that. That's the vat of blood. Now you might wonder, what is he up to now? Get that spotlight on Buck. Hey, Buck, come on up here and get your reward. Girls, show him what he's won. All eyes on you. 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 Good to be here. This time of year. I know you think you know where you're going, but don't you understand? We're always there, ahead of you, Buck. Buck? Now, I didn't want this to happen. You're not supposed to be afraid. You're a big, strong,